and his disciples went to Capernaum. And when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teachings, for he had taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Just then, there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Speak to you now in the name of God, who is our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Before I go too far into this, I just want to say that I've been having this message a lot lately. It seems to come to me now, even in scriptures, that word in the Corinthians passage that says, "Food will not bring you closer to God." Can't get away from it. Everybody seems to be telling me that. Oh well. Today, in the Gospel, we get the first recounting of Jesus in Capernaum, his first teaching, first opportunity to be in the synagogue and teach. And people were astounded by it, that his words were riveting to the people who gathered. And they never heard teaching like this before. He taught as one who had authority, not like the scribes, but somebody who really seemed to get it. And they were pretty excited by all this. Now, I sort of have the image before me of Jesus in a congregation like this one. And he's in the middle of all that powerful teaching when somewhere from the back, some guy stands up and really starts to let go. "What have you to do with me, Jesus of Nazareth?" More accurately, he says, "What have you to do with us?" And then Jesus, I'm just trying to imagine that happen here. Just give me a second. That'd almost be exciting. Jesus then calls out this spirit, this demon was within this man. And we're told that he convulses and he shakes. I mean, this is the stuff of TV and theater. This is phenomenal stuff. I mean, it's not the sort of stuff we're used to seeing in St. Aidan's on a Sunday morning, I grant you, but it could happen. Eventually, the spirit is cast away and leaves. And as I read it, and as I pray on it, and as I think about it, and as I hear the words of Deuteronomy about hearing the words of proper prophets, and as I hear the words from Corinthians about food, God help us, but the idea of food becoming an idol, and as I hear these words, I find myself asking the question about what this being possessed by a demon really is. I mean, you know, people have sort of tried to make it out to be all kinds of things, but maybe it's really not a whole lot more complicated than the fact that we all have things that hinder us from the love of God. That we all need to be called out and allow ourselves to convulse free of those false prophets that we hold on to. Allow ourselves to be shook free from the idols that we must have in front of us. So that having all of that stripped away, what's left for us are the words and the hope of this blessed and holy, loving God in Jesus. What a gift that is. And so I find myself asking, what are the things that hinder me from love of God? What are those things that may be false prophets for me? What are those things that are idols that I just don't want to let go of? How is it that I may need to have Jesus shake me free of what that is? Because, you know, when we're at our sort of lowest, or when we find ourselves listening to voices that sometimes are less than those voices that tell us about how beloved we are, it becomes very easy for us too to say, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Maybe I'm not good enough that you should be in front of me, loving me, healing me, forgiving me, embracing me, taking me as I am, and calling me to go and do the work of love and justice, of healing and hope. Who am I? What have you to do with me, O Jesus of Nazareth? And it's an important question because, you see, sometimes we can trick ourselves into a false sense of security when we belong to places like this and we don't convulse and shake and get all excited. And we think we got it all figured out, or at least we pretend to. Because when we get like that, it becomes very easy to separate good and evil and think that good is something here and evil is something over there. You know, like the Patriots are good and Seahawks are evil. Or the other way around, if you believe the news stories about deflated footballs. But it becomes very easy to parse the thing out. But it's not all that simple, is it? I mean, if we're being really honest, we know that there are things that we engage in our own lives that are less than holy, that are less than life-giving, that are less than worthy of having Jesus in front of us. And we think that somehow or another that maybe that Jesus shouldn't be coming and calling us free from all of that. And so the Russian novelist and Orthodox Christian Alexander Solzhenitsyn said something to that effect when he wrote, "The line between good and evil does not go between countries or empires or religions or political systems, or I may editorialize and say, or between football teams. But the line between good and evil goes straight down the middle of every human heart." That means the line between good and evil goes straight down between my heart and perhaps yours too. And so the challenge for us is to be able to, maybe even as a lament or a prayer or a cry of hope, say, Jesus of Nazareth, what have you to do with me? And allow God to have God's way with us. Because the truth is that discipleship is what we've been called to, and it's not always easy. And it means that sometimes we have to do it even when we have those things that hinder us from feeling completely beloved or completely a part of the kingdom. And so when that happens, we need to be reminded that God comes and calls out those things. As a people of the way, we are a people who walk through the heart of the world, through its worst places. We walk through death. And we work through some of the not safe places of the world. It's not always happy homes and happy meals. There's that food again. And so a couple of things need to be done. When we do find those warm places and those beautiful meals and those opportunities to be in communion with one another, we need to support one another. We need to love one another, and we need to relish in those times, because those are the times that will strengthen us for when we want to cry out, what have you to do with me? And then, having known that God would strengthen us and give us hope, those epiphanies of hope, those unforgettable moments, you know, when you're with people and you know that God is real,
We need to hearken back to that. That's what Jesus has to do with you and with me. There are many dark days, but the light of Christ illumines and sets us free from all darkness. We follow a resurrected one, one who dispels all darkness. And so, my friends, my prayer today is that we might be safe, feel safe, and feel comfortable enough to actually ask Jesus, "What have you to do with me?" And then be prepared for what happens. Because God has much to do with us. There may be some convulsing and some shaking and some being set free from the things that we hold on to, our false prophets, our idols, our vices, those things that we're afraid of. And my prayer is that we have the comfort to know that God will set us free and we will go and be God's servants. Amen.